section is meant to introduce you to some of our senior devotee doctors and what activities they have been doing from the time they passed out from the medical college and what kind of responsibilities they have taken. So since all of you are going to be like doctors in a few years' time and specialization and everything, and then plus you are also chanting Hare Krishna, so you want to figure out how you can combine your spirituality and medical practice most effectively. So one such model is there in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. How they came together and how they started, it's a story. So like that, probably when you go to your hometown or your village or your district, wherever you are from, so probably some of you could start some hospital like that. Some of you could start a polyclinic like that, or some of you could start an enterprise which will not just be a hospital or a clinic, but based on some spiritual values. And how exactly you gain by this kind of enterprise? Because you have to practice as a doctor anyway. So, you can join in 15 minutes. I'm just giving an intro. Aapka USB dal dijiye. Around sums, kitna are expected? Yeah, double the number is expected for around 7:30 aap aajaiye. Tab tak pura quorum aa jayega. Now only JJ have come. So I remember that when we first started program in JJ, 1994, then Adhikesha Prabhu also used to come, and I used to come. So twice a week we used to have programs. You remember that time? And Friday. Yeah. Initially Saturday. I used to come Saturday afternoon. So, as medical doctors, what are your needs? You want a good practice? You want like financial stability, career stability, good family life, nice working relationships with different people? These are your needs, basically. So when you come together in the association, hey, what's that? Hari bol, unko bula? AC wale, hai, kya hai? Dhua kya nikal raha hai? So, to give you a basic idea that wherever you practice, you know, ultimately you'll have to experience various kinds of difficulties. Just like before you came to medical college, you were struggling in your 12th standard to get through the exams. And that time there was a hope that once I clear the exams, enter JJ or Nair or whatever, life will be peaceful. But after you entered the medical college, you realized that the struggle has just begun. Right? How many of you found medical college peaceful? How many of you found your exam periods blissful? How many of you found your vivas joyful? Struggle is there. You cannot avoid it. I remember when I used to come to JJ, during exam time, the number of students would become double in the initial period. Numbers would become double. I said, "Itne log kyun aa gaye? Exam aa raha hai." Many people became serious in exam time. So struggle is there. So we cannot avoid that. But when you come together in the association of devotees, hear and chant, then that struggle is kind of mitigated. We cannot avoid that. So therefore, what are the professional challenges you will face as a practicing devotee is something which we have never discussed in much detail. As a Hare Krishna devotee, having certain ethics and morals in your body, but you also have to work in the outside world as a doctor. What will be the challenges? So, you hear from those who are already practicing and working outside, so you will get some perspective about that. So, we have with us our Shyam Mohan Prabhu. Many of you know him. He was the warden when you were all in medical college. Now he is in US, assistant warden. Warden was always our one and only Jai Bhavani. He is the senior most Hare Krishna person in the campus. Only two people have remained in that program, me and him. Everyone else has changed. So Shyam Mohan Prabhu, when he used to come in the beginning, he had aggressive questions. He was full of questions. Perfect questions. And he would come pretty late after studying, and then he would come with a plate of khichdi and sit right in front of me and ask questions. And he was so intelligent, he was getting all the prizes for the pediatric quiz awards. All India Institute of Medical Science. Nay, this was... He got AIMS seat.
I was the only one to get in AIMS in Bombay after like 8 years. No one had qualified for AIMS.
He got AIMS ophthal seat, which is like Swarg Lok.
I had 29th ranking AIMS. The last time someone had brought into AIMS from Bombay, in fact, was...
Yeah, so he's like pretty brilliant chap. You know, so he was like getting all the exams crack, getting the quizzes through, and you know, AIMS and all. And then he just left AIMS also. He got radio seat in Samaligarh or something, huh?
Yeah, I think all India. At that time there was, the bond was there in Maharashtra. People used to do from Maharashtra, they had to do 2 years of rural surface. That was like a discouraging factor for people doing, you know.
Yeah. That was the right thing. Because of that, he went outside of Maharashtra. But he did that, and then now he's in America. He is a radiologist practicing there in US, settled down with his wife and daughter. And very, very wonderful example of Krishna conscious grihastha life. So this is one model. He's working outside. Not in a devotee hospital or anything, but practicing his Krishna conscious principles like that. Unko bolo doctors ke liye. So therefore, this whole business of how to choose your career and profession is something which we have called you for. So we have two speakers for this evening. One is like from now till 7:30, I will request Shyam Mohan Prabhu to share his experiences in JJ and then in the job, what he's doing. Right? He used to have a lot of questions on Vaikunth. Vaikunth ke upar kaafi question poochte the aap. Woh chaar haath rehte hain, toh Vaikunth only. Spiritual world. Yeah. Woh chaar haath hai, toh how do they do these things? ब्रह्मा जी के चार सर है तो सोएंगे कैसे हो? ऐसा हटके थे इनके सब क्वेश्चंस. एंड ही हैड वन मोर पार्टनर, दीनबंधु प्रभु, डॉक्टर दीपक गुप्ता. बोथ वेर टुगेदर एंड बोथ यूज टू सिट टुगेदर एंड आई यूज टू कीप आंसरिंग देयर क्वेश्चंस टिल लेट नाइट. Those days I used to go to JJ afternoon 3 o'clock and come back at 11 o'clock. 8 hours. Then I stayed also in Apna hostel. I used to stay overnight. Room number 60.5. Is that the room? 60.5 karke ek room tha. Oh hai, abhi bhi hai. 60.5. That was like a unique... I always thought rooms were whole numbers. So it was fun time, a lot of young enthusiastic devotees. And then he used to have exams, then I used to carry prasad from here. Aajkal inke liye yahi se jata hai prasad. Mandir se. Mandir se kahan gaya aapko? Oh, do, ek hafta ke liye gaya tha. Inka bhi ek saal ho raha hai. 70-80 कितना 100 पीपल तीनों मिला के. ब्रेकफास्ट कम लंच बोथ. नहीं, ब्रेकफास्ट सेपरेट लंच सेपरेट. ब्रंच भेजेगा तो हमको क्रंच कर देगा ये लोग. सेपरेट एंड आई एम ओनली कुकिंग मॉर्निंग. So they used to get prasad from Akrur Prabhu's wife that time. Used to do separate. Yeah. So anyway, it was nice to have so many of you here interested in knowing more about the different career options after you. Because most people think Hare Krishna means, you know, sadhu banna padega. Aisa nahi hai. He is a grihastha with a kid. Balavanan Prabhu is a grihastha with two children. Both are having nice flourishing careers in their own profession. They are experts. So I would now like to welcome Shyam Mohan Prabhu. Let us welcome him by loudly chanting.
I may not be qualified to sit here, but you know, it's circumstances that create. So I'm sorry if someone feels offended by me sitting here, though, because I'm just part of you. So, so to begin with, 7:30. So we'll do it this way. I'll just speak for like 5-10 minutes, and then you all can ask questions. You know, pertinent, relevant, irrelevant, whatever questions you all feel. So. I'll tell you what I've gathered over these years. I came into Krishna consciousness somewhere in 95 to be precise. Because I remember the year very nicely because the centennial year, 1996 was the Prabhupada centennial year. That was celebrated in a very, very grand manner. The entire Mumbai... Probably that was one of the events that I can never forget, you know. And if you all are lucky, sometime you will see events on that large scale. It was a very, very large scale. We used to have programs everywhere in big grounds. And we had BST buses, you know, booked. These best buses booked with all Hare Krishna banners. I've never seen that site after that. I always long to see that site, you know. And ministers and chief ministers coming into stadiums having crowds of 70,000, 80,000. That was... That was my first year, so I remember. It was 95, and it was Prabhuji actually. You know, he used to come and he used to give us so much time that. And then Adikesh Prabhu used to come. He, due to his practice, he was not. He couldn't give so much time, but he somehow used to manage to come at least twice a month, so at least. So how it starts, I'll tell you. Typically, how it starts, because what happens with someone happens with many people at least. So typically it starts that you all are medical students, so you all are pretty intelligent people, and you all always have an inquisitiveness to know who am I, to know who am who is God. For example, I had these questions from at least 1991 when I went into 11th. You know, I always had these questions, and I sought various things how to get the answers. I read the books of this one Divine Life Society. I had read their books. Then I read. So it may be at least with some of you, not if not all of you. Then the other reason why people come, because people, as Prabhuji said, you know, they're in distress, slight distress, sometimes a little more, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that life is like someone drowning and coming up. So your exams are there, you feel distressed, something goes wrong at home, you are distressed, so you want some general massage therapy, like, you know, you are not interested particularly in Krishna or something, you want some general massage therapy. So that's the reason why some of you must have landed. So the second reason. A third reason, probably just, you know, some friend takes you and you feel, oh, why not, you know, just sit there and eat something, and whoever talks over there, he's just talking and probably it won't affect you. Just sit at the back and eat something and walk away, okay? So these are the three common things that bring you here. Whatsoever gets you here, it's fine, you know. Ant bhala to sab bhala, so that way, you know. So it doesn't matter why you all came. So never look back and think, oh, I came for this. Never mind. Most of us came for some reason or the other, you know, which you all came. So once you come, typically you start chanting, and then this chanting actually, it's a very divine process. You all may or may not realize this initially. But what happens in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that the material soul is like a material entity, it's in the material world, while Krishna is a spiritual entity. You know, it's in the spiritual world. Although soul is, of course, is eternal, but it's in the material world. So there is something connecting between them. There's, you need to look at a bridge, right? So the bridge, the naam is the bridge between that. Just like, you know, you have a computer and you have an internet over there. You can't just start a computer and you'll get internet. You require an interface. That's Windows, you know. Bill Gates launched the Windows. You click on that E and you get the internet. So there is an interface. Same way this naam, you may not realize, or many of you must have realized, it's an interface. It's an interface that can connect a material entity with a spiritual entity. So it's a very potent thing. So willingly or unwillingly, somehow you take into this process, and gradually, due to probably Prabhuji pushing you or some of your friends pushing you, you go on bumping the numbers, you know, from 4 jacks to 8, then jacks to 12, and the 16, I found this 16 is a very magical number. 15 doesn't have this potency, you know. 16 has it, because I tried various ways, you know. I tried to get around the system by working it out, you know. I tried 12, then I said, oh, 16 takes a lot of time, you know. Let's save some time. But I realized the difference between 15 and 16 is great. Now, you will say, how is the difference? Because in 16, Prabhupada's potency is there, you know. It's just 15 plus 1, or it's just 14 plus 2. But when Acharya promises something, Krishna has to deliver, you know. It's just like that, you know. If some big employee promises something, then the higher management, if he's a good employee, they have to give it. Because it's a, you know, they have to save his face. So same way, initially, when, you know, the standards were 64 rounds, but today it's not possible. The Shastra definition of a fallen person is someone who doesn't chant 64 rounds. That is the definition of a fallen person. Just like you have a definition of something, that's the definition of a fallen person. So by definition, all of us, we come in that category. So, you know, we are all Bhai Bandhu in that. Okay? So Prabhupada, due to his special potency, he calls up Krishna, and, you know, he has special arrangement for us. That you do 16 rounds and there you go. You have it. What people used to have with 64, you have it with 16 now. So that's the importance of 16. You know? There are different realizations. You will realize this, or you have some different realization. Different people have different realizations. So I found this to be particularly very true, you know. I was with 15, the effect was not so much. But when you jack it up to 16, and Krishna also, you know, you take effort from your side, he also reveals from his side. And you see, you know, it worked wonders. Of course, we are not doing, later on you realize that, you know, it was pretty silly on your part, you know, to do that for some material gains. But it works wonders, you know. it totally like calms your mind, it soothes your nerves. These are the material benefits I'm talking about. These are like the side effects. You are not supposed to chant due to these, you know. But this come about. It may come soon or later to you, but they just come about. Okay? So, and academically, definitely it will help you a lot in your studies. It helps in your concentration. It, like, I should try to think probably, you know, this chanting, it will take 1.5 hours. And I was my class topper. I was always a topper in my class. So, I was rank one in everything I did most of the time. So, I should say, you know, 1.5 hours, that rank number two, he's not spending that much time, you know. So, probably he's reading 2 chapters more than me. So, I should say, okay, I'll compromise somehow. I'll wake up, I'll sit back 1 hour more, I'll stay back 1/2 hour late. But no, that never used to happen. Somehow, I used to finish it earlier. And what earlier used to take me 3 readings, it used to happen in 1 reading. So that's how Krishna reveals, you know. Now, he may not reveal that way to everyone. You know, his equations are pretty personal, you know. With different people, he has different equations. You will realize that, you know, gradually. So that was how I used to feel it. So I used to feel that probably, if I'm giving him 1.5 hours, he used to probably give me 3 hours. So I realized probably I'm not competing with that second guy, you know. I'm way ahead of him. And it was true, you know. I came way ahead, you know. No one was even pretty close to me. I cleared a All India Institute. I got my post-graduation when all the people were still doing the internship. You know, they had people not finished the internship. People were applying for their, like, various forms and would apply. I, like, sort of bypassed everything. AIIMS happens in December first week. I started my post-graduation before I finished my internship. Internship I finished 15 January. So I had to ask them for 1 month extension, you know. So I was amazed, you know, how Krishna reveals. So, and then of course, I did not want to do ophthal. So I left ophthal, I went to radiology. I had given All India. I was 40th rank in All India. That was also sort of a record during that time. No one had come in double digits in our Apna hostel and RM, but hostel campus. No one had come in double digit ranks. I was rank 40. So everyone was 100 and all triple digit numbers. I'm not telling that you should do this for this, you know. This is pretty silly if we are doing this for this, you know. It's like going to a gold mine and taking... these are free gifts. Now, you may get this gift or you may get some other gift, right? Now, you shouldn't think that I want this gift only. You will get this gift or you may get some other gift which I have not got or someone else did not get. As I said, it's a very personal equation, you know. Krishna knows what's best for you. So, you will get it that way. That's the best advantage of, you know, going to Krishna. If you go to some demigod, they will just give you what you want. That may not be good for you. Later, you'll realize, arey yaar, ye kya manga? Phas gaya isme to. Okay, you will ask ENT, because someone says ENT is hot. And then you go, it's nothing, you know, only a tonsil will operate in 1 month. And the whole month, you will do nothing. So, same way. And I know one of our colleagues, you know, he was nowhere. Suddenly, Krishna arranged, and that batch got delayed, and he got skin. And skin at that time was like, skin? Skin. And see, now skin is a very good branch. In US, there are 4 branches which are more in demand. ROAD, it's called the ROAD. Radiology, anesthesia, ophthalmology, and dermatology. Especially dermatology is number one. All the girls, they want to go to dermatology. All the boys who want to make money and want to lead cool life, which you should get, you know, if you are getting high rank, you deserve that. So they go to dermatology. So we are amazed, you know, how the person... You know, Krishna, so it's like, as he said, it's a side effect. You are not supposed to ask for that, but it somehow comes it. So just keep it and, you know, just go on doing something else. So then our devotional thing is a start of a path. It's not the end of the road. Don't think that if I started this devotional thing means, oh, okay, everything is over now. And when we start chanting, it's the beginning of a lifetime relationship. So, and don't get frustrated by, you know, slight fluctuations, periods of... We are looking at lifetimes here. We are in this material world since, like, multiple ages, you know. You don't even know how many million years. So, it doesn't matter if something happens, you can't chant for some weeks. Don't get disgusted, you know. Don't get frustrated. It's totally fine. We are talking about eternal relationship, right? You are talking about not a 50-year relationship which you will develop with a wife, or like a 10-year relationship which you will develop with a friend. We are talking about eternal relationship. So really 1 or 2 weeks, 1 month, no one sits there. Krishna doesn't sit and calculate, you know, that you didn't chant for a week, you're a bad boy or something. No. That desire should be there. So don't get depressed. It just happens sometimes. You know, you can't do, you're trying, but you it doesn't happen. Due to whatsoever reasons. Probably due to reasons you're angry. You just want to chant. You are frustrated with this process. You think this process doesn't work. Okay? But still, just hang on. You know, just hang on. Prabhuji always used to give me one example, which I like tied a knot with me and I kept, you know. He used to say that, what does a mango need to do to get ripe? What does a mango need to do to get ripe? It just needs to hang on there. Just hang on. It will get ripe, you know. Just the time. Same way, what do you need to inherit your father's property? Just be his son, okay? Just continue to be his son. Don't pick up a big quarrel with him, okay? Don't pick up a big quarrel. Don't kick him and don't walk out. Same way, don't offend a Vaishnava very seriously, you know. If you offend small little bit, Vaishnavas are very merciful. They'll forgive you, okay? You know, little bit offenses keep on happening on this long road. So don't offend a Vaishnava big time. You know, don't mess up big time with someone. Just hang on. Just hang on. It will take time. With someone it may happen quick. With someone it may hang late. And remember, there is no goal for devotional life. Devotional life by itself is a goal, you know. It's not that you are chanting. Prabhupada used to say, which is the truth, that we are not chanting to go into Vaikunth or into Goloka, no? We are not chanting to go into Goloka Vrindavan. We don't want to have a backdoor entry. Or we don't want to gate crash. We are chanting because we are happy in this process. This process itself is even if we have to, you know, like there are so many of our Vaishnava Acharyas who said that even if we have to be in this world and always chant and, you know, and deliver souls, we are happy to do that. So the goal of devotional life is devotional life itself. It's not a goal. It's not a path to achieve something that, you know, I want now entry into, okay, Krishna, I've started chanting. So in next 20 years or next 70 years, I need a ticket to Goloka Vrindavan. If that doesn't happen, you go your way, I go my way. No, that's not our attitude. Okay, that will happen. Definitely that will happen. But that's not our attitude, okay? Our attitude is to serve. To serve, to chant, to serve and be happy. The different thing is that in this material world, you cannot be perfectly happy. Therefore, we want to go. But otherwise, if it serves our purpose, if it serves our guru's purpose, then we should be happy to be here and do devotional service eternally. That should be our goal, okay? Whatever comes, we have to leave it on it. Okay, now philosophy aside, let's come to practical questions, practical problems. If you have any particular questions, please feel free. Yeah, we'll take at least. Yeah, go ahead.
What
I particularly had this thing. Therefore, I did not give US Emily till 5 years after the right time that, you know, the usual time, right? Not the right, the usual time that people give US Emily is after their MBBS, okay? But I always felt that, you know, I don't want to leave my country. I never had dreamt also if I leave my country. I made my passport in 2006. And I went abroad I made my passport in 2005. That's the date written. And I went to US in 2007. So I was not, I passed MBBS in 1998. So like 7 years, I had not even thought of that. But then later I realized that it really doesn't matter where you are to practice devotion service. Our devotees are everywhere due to Prabhupada's mercy. 20 years before, you know, if you speak to people had big time problem, you know, in having vegetarian food or proper food or proper association. But now devotees are everywhere. I'm in Pennsylvania, in Harrisburg. That's the capital of Pennsylvania. It's like 1 hour away from Philadelphia. The city by itself is Hershey. They're the third famous, the third biggest chocolate manufacturers of the world. So they are, you know, famous. The city is famous for chocolate manufacturing. So due to Prabhupada's mercy, devotees are everywhere practically. Even if you go to like Zambia or Namibia or Congo, Maharaj is gone, right, Zambia. I just mentioned Z, you know, Zambia. So devotees are practically everywhere. Of course, it's very easy in India. It's very easy in India and very favorable in India. But this is a question that I had asked particularly someone. If if you are in a place where devotional life is difficult and still you do it, you know, you get bonus points in a way. You practically can experience it. Your progress is faster. Of course, it doesn't mean that you put yourself in a different difficult position, but it's like that way, you know. You give those exams. If a difficult question comes, you answer that correctly, you get more points. Your all these exams now, they are going that way. Or your GRE is going that way. Your USMLE is almost going that way, not yet. So they give you, like, you do questions. If you are, you know, good, they give you difficult questions. And for that difficult question, there will be 4 marks. For the easy question, there will be just 2 marks. So it's that way. If you are doing Krishna consciousness in a difficult atmosphere, I have seen, even if you do little, you know, you progress a lot. For example, here, to maintain my devotional service, my devotional thing, I had to practically attend once a week and, you know, associate continuously with devotees. But there I saw, it's not that you bump into devotee every round, every corner. You have to go, you have to travel like 20, 30 miles, which is like 50 kilometers, to meet some devotee. But then that's fine. Once you go there, you meet them, and to come back, you carry that, you know, you carry that for about a month. So it's... So although the frequency decreased, but the potency increased. So this is like, again, sort of Krishna gives you, you know, if you have that sincerity, and it is that way, that if you go through a difficult path, the results, you know, somehow things are arranged. Then, this is my realization that I had. So, and career, you know, and our work takes us anywhere in the world. So, I think that shouldn't be a major obstacle. Probably if you go somewhere, US is probably the second most favorable country in the world after India. If you have to leave India and go somewhere, it should be the US, you know. That's the Prabhupada used to say that I like US. US is my, I don't remember the exact words, but this is what he used to convey. He used to convey that somehow US was very recipient, and Prabhupada said that, you know, I like this country because they are very open in accepting things. And of all the other countries, I think US is the most recipient. Of course, devotional life is difficult. There is no doubt about it. It is difficult. But as I told you, that if you do something in a difficult atmosphere, the rewards are larger. So, anything else? Okay. Post-graduation there? I didn't do post-graduation there. Okay. So, to answer this, we are completely talking a non-devotee topic. Okay, that's fine. That's totally fine because we are people and we have people issues, okay? We are not only devotees. We don't have only devotee issues. We are also people like other people and we have people issues. So, I'm just clarifying that we are talking general issue, okay? So, the answer to this is... his question is... How does the hard work in getting a post-graduation and hard work pay off in US? Okay? So it's like a general question, nothing to do with devotional life. Okay? So the answer to this is, US in general has been a leader in medical science and other sciences. And this will be there at least for the next 50 years due to the universities that are there. Economically, US will decline from now. It doesn't look like US will sustain and be upward path economically. But educationally, they are still, they will be the leaders for at least the next 50 years because of the universities that they have built. So if we want, you know, cutting edge education, which, see, if you are cutting edge, it naturally helps you in your devotional life also, you know, sort of you become like a leader. You are like a role model. You are a leader in that branch. You know the best in that thing. So it helps you that way. It doesn't give you direct devotional like a fruit, you know. Not like chanting. Immediately finish chanting, there's a direct fruit. It's not a direct fruit. But then I see it that way, you know. I want to offer the best to Krishna or to the best to what I do. You know? So that someone may or may not consider me a role model. But I want to do the best in whatever I can so that, you know, I'm a devotee. So that automatically goes to Krishna. I'm not thinking that, you know, I'll do this, and it's not always only devotional life, but since I'm a devotee, naturally it also goes to devotional life. Practically my main life, everything is most of devotional life. My wife is a devotee, my child is a devotee, my entire family, my parents, my brother, sister, everyone is devotee. So automatically it goes that way. So yeah, coming back again to the question. So US is a leader, so the advantage is that you will be in the best places. Okay, the work that they do is definitely cutting edge in most of the places. Then they pay the best currently to the doctors. We have in our hospital, we have people from Canada, UK, everywhere. People have come there mainly due to the pay. Okay, tomorrow suppose US stops paying, no one is going to go there. Let's be frank. Okay, if tomorrow US stops paying or pays equivalent to India, you'll probably go there, just do, learn something and come back. Or probably not even go there. Sir, apna kya farak padta hai? Jitna sikha bas ho gaya. Okay. So you won't even go there. So this is a dual advantage. They have the cutting edge thing and they pay a lot to doctors. They probably are currently paying the most to doctors than any other country. Okay. So, and it's pretty favorable. You know, while post-graduation, you earn sufficiently. You know, you earn as much as your consultant colleagues will earn over there. And definitely your education is cutting edge. So I think that helps, you know. Both the things are there. You have the material thing, you have the education, you have the money, and it's relatively favorable to devotional life if you want. If you don't want to go anywhere, not meet anyone, then it's your fault. But if you want, there are a lot of devotees around, there are a lot of temples around, there is prasad around, so that's arranged. But I would say that better to marry and go, because prasad becomes a definite big problem if you don't marry and go. You'll have a tough time if you don't marry and go.
Thanks, Shyam Mohan Prabhu, for his wonderful realizations.
Yeah, if you still have any questions, you can always contact me. You know, I'm always
available.
We are
going to have one more session with him in JJ, especially on the studying part, because he was one of the few people who got through AIIMS and you know all the quizzes and all. So he has some interesting study techniques, which he will share with all of you. Like our Dr. Deen Bandhu came and shared with all of you. And I would like to invite His Grace Madhavananda Prabhu, who is the director of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital and who is a pass out from JJ. Many of you are from JJ. So we have a JJ alumnus. Vansha Kalpataru. Please. No. And Madhavananda Prabhu has been one of the senior most devotees here in the congregation, and he'll explain during the course of his talk how the things began initially and what was Maharaj's vision and so many events which happened. But most importantly, very, very gentle devotee, very much loved by the community, very mature in Krishna consciousness, having seen a lot ups and downs in the ISKCON society, and most importantly carried this Bhaktivedanta Hospital through turbulent times, and now it's one of the most successful hospitals and probably the only devotee run managed hospital with a special unique feature of spiritual care, which is probably going to be modeled by several other hospitals in time to come, and an inspirational role model for many other devotees to come together and create projects like this. So let us welcome His Grace Madhavanand Prabhu by loudly chanting.
Omagyanati mirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakadamaiham dadati svapadantikam nama om vishnupadaya krishna preshthaya bhutale srimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarene Vancha Kalpataru Bhesha Kripa Sindhu Evasha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Kaur Bhakturinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, first of all, I would like to thank Gaurang Prabhu for inviting me here and interacting with you. It's not going to be a lecture or anything. We're just going to interact. And also I would like to thank all of you for being here. Really grateful that this opportunity is there to talk to the future doctors, future Hare Krishna doctors of the ISKCON movement. Today morning he told me that there is a session. Correct. So we had planned it somewhere in February, right? By that time most of you were in Barsana I camp. Yeah, so quite a few. Yeah. So just now Shyam Mohan Prabhu was talking to you about all the professional part of it. And now today what we are going to share right now is probably more towards the other side. That means the devotional aspect of the medical life. What I thought was that maybe we can just share with you what was like those good old days and where are we right now. So I have decided to speak in four parts. Just now I was sitting there, so I just thought how to go about it. So one part is 1984 to 1986. Then it is 86 to 91, then 91 to 98, and 98 till today. So four parts. So in 1984, somebody came to the JJ Hospital. I was staying in R.M. Bhatt Hospital. And Vishwaroop Prabhu was also in R.M. Bhatt Hostel. Some of our friends were in old hostel and the Apna. And the canteen issues were the same as today. So everything was same. So one person came from Delhi. He had come, he was a student of pharmacy. And told on a Sunday that I am going to Juhu to meet the Hare Krishnas. And I was thinking, Hare Krishnas, we are already heard, what is it? So smuggling, CIA, everything. So no story changed, they are the same. Now also you might be hearing the same things. But then we had myself and Vishwaroop Prabhu, we were in the same college. Right from 11th standard in Ruparel College. So one of our classmates had gone to IIT. So in IIT campus there is much more freedom than JJ campus. JJ is also quite a free campus. We had this. We had one lobby called as Chersi Lobby. It was officially called as Chersi Lobby. Because there were students who would officially take Charas. Now I don't know what is the state. But it is there? Now, underground. Now previously it was called a Chersi Lobby. And they would officially take and play carom while taking it. So, freedom being offered there much more than JJ, Vishwaroop would go to enjoy that freedom. So, there, next to our friend's room, was a devotee staying there. His name is Dayaram Prabhu. You might have heard about him. He is a very senior devotee in the movement. So he would tell him, okay, don't waste your time with this person. You look from a good family. Ye to khalas ho gaya. You know, don't bother to be with him. You come with me to the temple. So 2-3 times he told him like that. So once Vishwaraprabhu went. And after going there, he was really impressed. Just by seeing the way the aarti is being done. If you have visited Juhu temple, you know, these three huge doors, they open like this. Three conch shells go together. So beautiful. And Govindam Adi Purusham. So he was immediately impressed. Immediately he took up chanting. I'm cutting short certain things. This is the initial period. And as the nature of Vishwaraprabhu, you know, he likes to show things, you know. So he would keep his door open of the room and would chant like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And since we were friends, of course, friend me, we were not very thick friends. In fact, sometimes we would get into arguments, and because he always considered me a villager. And I was. And he is like a city boy, and I never liked city people. So somehow there was always that tension. But still we were in talking terms and, you know, hi, hello. So he started targeting me. So we would discuss every day. Every day there was a discussion on our, at the lunch time. So we would always eat together. Like this, discussions went on, and after 8-9 months of discussion, then I also went to Juhu. And that's where slowly we came into this whole, we were immediately convinced because it's such a convincing science. Till then, practically atheism was the only thing which was told to us. We were never told that Darwin's theory is a theory. Teachers, how they teach you? They never tell you this is a theory. They say this is it. This is science. They don't tell you that this is one of the theories and there are several other theories. So naturally you accept it from the professors. But once you go to the Hare Krishna, it is very hard to resist it. It is very, very convincing. So we took up Krishna consciousness. And then devotees started coming to JJ Hospital. They had a van at that time. And in the van there was a video. So the video would be of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know, God, demigods, so many, very powerful videos. And I think I will not spend so much time on that. It's because I can just get carried on. I'll get carried away by those old memories. But then we actually began in JJ Hospital, this Juhu Temple, to think about how to utilize medical knowledge to propagate this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Because at that time, devotee means full-time devotee. There was no other devotee. There was no concept that somebody outside he can live and be a devotee. The only concept was devotee means full-time devotee. So only few grihasthas who were staying outside, like Srinath Ji Prabhu, Mahaprabhu Prabhu, few of them, Radha Krishna Prabhu, they were the only grihasthas who were staying outside and coming to the temple. Everyone else was automatically full-time. So we always identified ourselves as full-time devotees. Right from beginning, right from the student life. So we were always thinking in that direction. I still remember we would stand in the prasadam queue and discuss. So one of the major forces behind us was our Radha Giridhari Prabhu. He was also the same time. He was from the engineering college and we were from the medical college. So we were getting little special treatment. Those professional colleges students. So he would say, hey, tell Sridhar Swami, he will give you a bus and you take the bus and go to the villages and distribute medicines and preach. So that time we were just maybe third MBBS, final. As soon as we got into internship, Then he said, now you cannot stop. Now you must go. So ultimately I said, see, I know the villages because I am from a village. But who will give the facility? Who will do all the organization? Because in my village I can give you place, everything, but medicines have to be bought, so many things. And he was the one who organized the first camp. He's very enthusiastic. So he gathered some NSS and some students and took all of them with the team of doctors. And that's how we started the medical camps. Again, all the time thinking how to utilize this professional knowledge to propagate Krishna consciousness. And it was very joyous because our camps would begin with kirtan. Then there would be medicine and prasadam distribution simultaneously. And at the end there would be, and the doctors would be in dhoti and kurta. We were little fanatics at that time. So dhoti, kurta, upar se apron. So that was our style. You will see some of the photos might be there today. At the end we are going to show some photos. So like that it went on, and the village preaching was so enlivening that practically every devotee known at that time came to the villages. Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Mahaprabhu Prabhu, any person who is coming from abroad, USA, he would come and they would love the camps. You know, because we would go on Saturday, cook a big meal, not a big feast, and distribute to the villages, and next day there would be camp. Hundreds of people would come. And we would hold Ram Navami, Janmashtami festivals there in the villages. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj several times came to the villages. And he would give Janmashtami lectures. So we would finish Janmashtami here. And in the evening, we will take off all the decorations from here, from the temple. Load it in the bus. Go and decorate the pandal or whatever there. And with the same paraphernalia, we would again have one more Janmashtami in the night. So this is how those days were there. This is 86, 87. So this was the period when we were interns and postgraduates. Again, being a little more fanatic than what we are today. That time we would do everything. Because we didn't have much facilities. So now we want to cook prasadam. So one devotee, Gangadas, Gandivadas, you know, African devotees, he was very inspired by this project. So he would come with us, we would go to Bhaikala Sabji Market, do kirtan, and tell them ki hum log gaon mein ja rahe hai, udhar sab khana bine ka kami rehta hai, aap kuch de do. And they would give two gonis of batatas, and so many things they would give. Abhi itka leke kaise jane ka? Hum log bhi utha ke leke jate the. Dwarkarish Prabhu would carry some ganis and like that. And then we would put it in the bus. But it was a fully enjoyable experience. Sometimes we would go on till late night, 11:30, 12 o'clock in the night, and then we would start searching, wondering how to go back now. So no vehicles available. So we would go to the main road, highway, and wait there, and sometimes ladies were also with us. And in the night we would come back to the temple. So thoroughly enjoyable experience. Now after this, then we became MDs. We got our MDs, and of course that also, we had a discussion amongst our own group. We were about 6 or 7 people. Now who will take what? Because we had planned what to do. So somebody took pediatrics, somebody took medicine, somebody took orthopedics, somebody took ophthalmology. And we had a good team, at least basic team, gynecology. That's how our first, you can say, the team was formed. And then this team was also ready to spend their life. Our Vaishnava Seva Prabhu, you know Vaishnava Seva Prabhu? IsconDesirety.com, famous surgeon. His brain is very fertile. So he keeps on thinking. So he thought of a brilliant idea, why should we create a building and so many It's very difficult to maintain, you know. So let's have something which is low budget. So we have no problems to maintain ourselves. So he created a van in his on his pictures, in which he decided to where Vishwaroop Prabhu and his wife will stay in the bus. And he said, this is our moving hospital, we'll go village to village and preach. And everyone was completely happy with this. Later on, of course, there were people like me who were a little more practical. So I said, this is not going to work out. Ultimately, there will be babies and so many things, you know. The wife may not be happy in staying in a small room in a van. So that's how then we shifted to the temple. We started staying in the temple and started operating from here. So originally, Radha Gopinath temple was the shelter of all the doctors. We are all staying in this place. And from here, on the weekdays, we would go to all the slums. And there are still devotees from various slums who are devotees because of those camps. So one side there will be prasadam distribution, Govind Prabhu, Shyamanand Prabhu, they would distribute prasadam and do kirtan in the slum. And the doctors would see the patients. So this was a very nice time. So now once they became postgraduates, we thought we should have something on our own. So again, we didn't have money. We just had that vision which we had developed together, and plus there was guidance from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He always told us that, you know, what you can do alone and what you can do together, there's a big difference. So that's how we started searching for a place where we can all be together. Now, we were always scared of Mumbai, because Mumbai means cut practice, this, that, malpractices, unethical practices. So we had all these ideas, which are true even today. So we didn't want to get into it. So therefore, we started looking for a hospital place, okay, somebody who can give us hospital. So I knew somebody who was running a hospital, and I had met him, and I said, once you become a doctor, you come back to me, because I want some dedicated doctors. So we all went as a team. And he immediately offered the whole hospital to us. It's surprising. But within just few meetings, he said, you take this hospital, run the hospital. So yesterday we were no one, and today we were like practically owners of the hospital. So as soon as we went there, this hospital is in Virar, still existing. The first thing we did was little radical. Because everyone was used to a particular way of working and everything. And there was an MTP center there. So I said, we can't work here, because no. If there is an MTP, we are conducting abortions, we just can't work here. So he said, no problem, I want you. I don't care what is happening. Because he said, I am a non-medical person. Whatever our previous medical superintendent told, that's going on. But he said, but there are many people who are in the society who will be objecting to this decision of stopping abortions. So he conducted a big public debate in Virar, in the hospital, in the auditorium. So he called all the prominent people, said, if you can win this debate, then I will stop it. So myself and Dwarkadish Prabhu on one side, and 2-3 gynecologists and the trustees on the other side, some of the trustees. And we very easily won the debate. There was no problem. Very quickly. So it was stopped. But because of that, the other trustees, you know, who were not so supportive, they became very volatile to us. And they started writing later, you are just paid employees, this, that. So at one point of time, then we decided, okay, this is not going to work out. So we just quit. And after quitting, then Radhanath Maharaj told us, now, since you don't have anything and you are already graduate doctors, postgraduate doctors, you immediately start searching for a place. So we started searching. And ultimately, we went back to our original place, that was Palghar, where we started the camps. And we started a polyclinic, and Hanumanji was brought. Long history is there. But that's the period of, say, 91 to 96. This is the period I am talking now. Where The polyclinic was started, and by that time Adhikesha Prabhu had joined and others had joined. So in the polyclinic we would take about maybe 20 rupees fee at that time. And people were very happy, 20 rupees may MD doctor. Very happy. So it was doing very well. So we decided, okay, now we will settle this, we have found the ultimate place. So we decided to settle down there in Palghar, Boisar, that area. So we selected another hospital where, now at that time, Krishna Chandra was very, 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 you can say enthusiastic to support us. He had seen there is a team of doctors who is ready to dedicate their life for propagating Krishna consciousness. So he said, you don't worry about funds. Funds I will bring. You just tell me the project. So we were searching. So at that time we had selected a hospital, a ready-made hospital with 30 beds, and he was ready to sell it for 20 lakh rupees. So final negotiation, everything was done. And lastly, the final blessings. So His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, Raghunath Prabhu, so many people were called to say, and Akrur Prabhu, all of them, they came, saw the place, everyone liked it. But while coming back on the way, Maharaj started thinking that if these doctors go away, like these, we were like some of the few devotees who were existing in the congregation. It's a big group. If they go away to such a far place, how will they maintain their Krishna consciousness? So he changed his mind on the way back. And next day he called all of us and he said, I think we have not done enough research on this side. You might still get a good place on this side. So please research somewhere which is, you know, very easy to commit. And this way, we ultimately settled in Mira Road. That's how, this is in 93 we opened the polyclinic. And in the polyclinic, we added some beds, operation theater, and it was like a small nursing home. Seeing the results of that polyclinic, again, it became like famous within 6 months. Within 6 months, we were the most crowded place. Because again, our fees were 30 rupees in Mira Road. So 30 rupees my MD doctor. So people were like coming. And seeing that success, this our Rohinandan Prabhu, he knew the builders of that area. So they gave a plot, which was what we today stand on. Bhaktivedanta Hospital is standing on that. And that's where our next phase begins. And in the plot, then we had a puja in 1995, April 1995. And after puja, we just were walking around the street and suddenly we found that there are devotees just across. So I knew the devotees. So I said, what are you doing here? They said, our plot of temple is right here. It was a paddy field, but they had bought it. So they did not know that we are going to come there, and we did not know that they are going to come there. So it was Krishna's arrangement. So now temple and hospital are practically opposite to each other. Maharaj had also selected that place for various reasons. When we took him around, Maharaj said, this is the only station in this area which is named after a saint, Mirabai. So there is one reason why you should come here. Second, he said, I have seen so many upcoming townships, but this is a planned township. So, you know, it is likely to be planned like this. So it is not going to grow haphazardly. So take it here. Third, he said, the land is free. So you don't have to invest on land. So various reasons he gave. And he convinced us to take that land. But otherwise, actually, it was a very, very far off place at that time. From the station, you couldn't go there. You were wondering who will come there. If you open a hospital, who will come there? But Maharaj was very confident. He said, once you open the hospital, this might become the central place. Today it is like that. So that's how then the whole hospital construction took place. We had Krishna Chandra Prabhu's very quality conscious mind. So he would always make sure that the quality of construction, quality of everything was perfectly maintained. Best consultants, best architects, everyone was available to us. And it is because of their guidance, Maharaj's guidance, Krishnachandra's guidance, that we could build the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Now after building, during the building, again there were several people, like Prahladan Maharaj would come, he would give his suggestions. Several people, they would come and give their suggestions on what should be a hospital. Now during the suggestions, earlier we had planned about maybe 30-40 bedded hospital. But suddenly we realized it's a huge building. We can accommodate maybe 300 to 500 beds. But then we decided, no, we will keep very good space around. Thank you. And it was looking very odd when Akrur Prabhu would bring his, you know, the government officers, DHO, and they would come. So DHO would say, isme to 750 bed reh sakte hai. Because their calculation was 100 square feet per bed. This is a general calculation which India follows in nursing homes and rural hospitals. So we were 75,000 square feet. But we kept it. We said we want spaciousness because we want to, you know, people should relax and they should be feeling very, very at home. And later on, you know, after we built, then our management consultant, Dr. Desai, he started bringing people to show our hospital, ki dekho aisa hospital banane ka. So I said, what are you showing them? We are a simple hospital. So no, he said, the US standard is 1,000 square feet per bed. You are the closest to it. So that's how we didn't know that we are doing. We were just focusing on only one thing, that patient should feel very comfortable, at home, and not claustrophobic. He should feel like he is in a temple. That was our idea. And then we had this music systems and lectures, and plus the spiritual care was added later on. Means initially our idea was, we didn't know how to put the spirituality in the whole thing. Because even in JJ and Nair, wherever we were studying, people always had rumors, you know. Maybe you also might be facing those rumors. Ki ye log kya hai na, patient marta hai to chanting karte kali. Ye log kuch karte nahi. They don't resuscitate. They just chant Hare Krishna. Very bad doctors. You know, we had that somehow, people had spread those rumors, even though we were doing the same thing as any other doctor. So, even though these rumors were there, we were very strong on our purpose. Because Maharaj has said that if we don't preach through these hospitals, even the prasadam concept, actually when we started our camps in the slums, so I remember I had gone to Maharaj. Maharaj, what are the things we should never forget in a camp? They said, whatever you may do, always give prasadam. Patient must receive prasadam. He said, because that's the only thing which you are going to give him, Krishna consciousness. Because he is not going to listen to your philosophy when he is sick. Give him prasadam, give him kindness, and give him the perfect treatment. So prasadam was always part of it. The spiritual ambience was always part of our whole thing. But the concept of how to preach through this was not there. So this is how in 1998, January, we started the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And then slowly the preaching evolved. So Maharaj gave his vision. Three V's he told us. What is this project? Bhaktivedanta Hospital project. So three V's. One, he said, it's a Varnashram project. That means Varnashram means what? That people come together of various abilities and they work together sam siddhir haritoshanam to please Lord Hari. So this is Varnashram. So there will be doctors, there will be managers, there will be nurses, there will be award boys. Everyone will be there. They are earning their livelihood. But ultimate goal is to please Krishna. So it's a Varnashram project. This is most important itself. So therefore, everyone should feel happy and comfortable in that atmosphere, because in Varnashram system, every individual was taken care from all angles. The financial angle, social angle, spiritual angle, emotional, every angle was taken. That's Varnashram system. So he said that is major goal. Second, he said Vaishnav Seva. Because there will be many Vaishnavas in the future and they will come to take treatment. And they would like to take treatment in such an atmosphere where there is chanting of the holy names or lectures and so many things, devotees treating him. So that was also one of our things. And of course, we have seen the results over a period of time. We were very fortunate to serve His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj. He stayed there for almost 2 months. We had another Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. How many of you know about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj? He has written wonderful books. He is no more there. But he stayed for almost 6 weeks at a time for Panchakarma and various treatments. He was a visionary. He would... Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was really one of the, you can say, A-class preachers. Means he was always invited by the American Physicians Association, so many people. He would give classes to very, very top class people. You know, some of the kings in South Africa, African countries, they were his disciples. A very wonderful person. And he would always quote the latest statistics. He had that access to all these things. So he, at that time, he had come, he said, this project, according to him, he would say, this project, according to me, is the most important project in ISKCON. He would frankly say this. He said, I can't quote this outside. But this is my feeling. Because he said, this is going to open the door to the fantastic preaching which is coming, going to come in future. Right now you may not realize it. So he was served there. Then Mahavishnu Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj, so many Maharajas, they came, and today also many Vaishnavas come there, get treatment. It's very great fortune that we can serve them. And the third V, he said, is to this Vaishnava Dharma, the Prachara. So he gave a lot of importance to creative preaching. He said, you be creative. You don't know how you're going to preach. But you can't preach to a person who's sick. But you'll have to find out how to do it. So we were trying to figure out how to do preaching through the hospital. Because prasadam we are already giving, they are hearing the holy name, they can hear the lectures, but still more than that. And maybe 2-3 years went and still we were not finalizing on that. So ultimately Maharaj again took a very, very radical decision. How important this spiritual care was for him. So at that time I was the director of the hospital. And I was always expressing this concern. Maharaj, we are not very happy with the spiritual culture. You know, spiritual, how do we preach? Because he had prophesied already, ki, one day this hospital will do tons of preaching. This was his statement. So I would always know how to do it. And ultimately he said, you give up the post. You don't become the director now. You concentrate, unless you concentrate fully on this, it is not going to come out, because you are going to be busy with the management. So then we got Raghunath Prabhu as our director, and I started looking after how to do this spiritual care. So we then had a plan. Slowly it evolved. And when I showed Maharaj the plan, this is how we will do it. So what is your suggestion? So I said, just do it. Whatever you have written, just do it. And suggestions will come, and you will yourself develop it nicely. So that's how our whole spiritual care department started. And today, with this whole system, which has taken maybe 10 years to come to some kind of level, almost every month we can say, daily one devotee is ready from there. Daily one. I don't know whether there is any temple right now existing. This is not boasting. It's all credits to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and the devotees' support from here. That every day, on an average, every month we have about 30 people who are ready for full Krishna consciousness. So we are seeing the results, and this is just the beginning. We are seeing right now that at least in the nursing field there is a lot of demand for spiritual nursing, because we have been giving lectures to the trained nurses association and all the matrons and nursing superintendents at various times. And when they see what we are doing, even in our nursing school, there is a spiritual care curriculum. 60 hours we spend on teaching them only spiritual care. And we have a match formula by which we give spiritual care, which is totally, you can say, 180 degree opposite to what the spirituality they teach in Western countries. With this, we are seeing that, you know, many, many more people, particularly the nursing field and the medical field, are going to take up this spiritual care. Because in 1980s, when we were studying, I don't know what is today's state, but that time we would have the definition of the health and, you know, 3-4 pages written on the definition of health. That means mental, physical, social equilibrium, you know. And then there was a 3 or 4 line paragraph which would say spiritual health, and some people say that there is another aspect of health called as spiritual health. This is in 1980s. But in 2005, the World Health Organization officially had to adopt this, because all over the world they saw that there is something lacking. Particularly this Toy Cross, you know, he is a palliative physician. I think he is from Britain or Canada, I don't know. But he is one of the very prominent figures in palliative care. So he studied several cases of people who are going to die. And he saw that I am giving them morphine, I am giving this, that, all sides of painkillers, but their pain is not going. What is the issue? So he started interviewing them. And his interview, he found that there are about 90 questions which are unanswered for most people. And out of those, 5 or 6 questions are the most common. And what are those questions? Those questions is our 6-day Bhagavad Gita session. The 6-day course which we give. It's amazing how the universality of spirituality is there. It's universal. Same questions people ask. What is this all about? This is one question. Why am I suffering? Is there rebirth? Can I be forgiven for what I am doing? What I have done? Is there God? Same questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? Exactly the same questions. So with all these things, they have to accept. So in the year 2005, WHO actually practically accepted that spiritual health is part of overall health. Now, whenever we take lectures, particularly for the intellectual classes, we just recently had one program. I spoke on time management. They gave me a topic, time management. Of course, my conclusion was a little funny for them. I said, actually, you can never manage time. Time will always manage you. Time is Krishna. How you can manage Krishna? Huh? Time will always manage you. But they were quite interested by, you know, the little bit, you can say, lateral thinking. And when I presented them about the spirituality, they were like coming up with so many suggestions. I said, we will support you. We have senior citizens forum, this, that. Put this in the textbooks. Go to the schools and put it in the school in a general way. We don't have to talk about Christianity or Hinduism or this. Just put what you are talking in the plain generic language. Let people have the understanding that their spirituality is fact of life. And then as they grow, let them choose. Whether they want to choose Zen Buddhism, or they want to choose, say, Baha'i, or you want to choose some Muslim dharma, no problem. But at least spirituality will be there. So this is also one of the goals. Creative preaching, part of that is that at least we should talk to the medical fraternity. medics and the paramedics and get it there. Because they are the leaders. They practically control the psyche of the society. If you see, the doctors are in a very, very advantageous position. Very advantageous. They will come, once you are a famous doctor, a good doctor, they will come to you for ladki ka marriage kaisa karna chahiye. Everything, school kaun sa lena chahiye, bachche ke liye. Practically everything they will ask you because they have so much faith. You are the leaders. When you say something, they accept it. So that is also one of the ways of preaching through Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So this is how slowly we have come to this stage, and there is a long journey ahead of us. I have not prepared my talk in a particular fashion, but this is how we have evolved so far. And I will be showing you some pictures now. I have not prepared this again because I was thrown that out and just came directly from outside. We'll just run through these slides and then maybe we can have some question answers. History. All of you know this, Radha Shyam Sundar, Vrindavan. Yes. Go on, please. I'm just going to speak wherever it is necessary. You just go through it. We were very fortunate. The Maharaj has always, you know, fully supported this. Although he has a different vision. Go ahead, go ahead. Because these slides are not important so much. Go ahead. quick. You know all of them, right? Most of them you know. Go ahead. Yeah, like just want to tell you. Previously we did not have a trust or anything. This name, Hare Krishna Medical Association, how, again, how you are students, we are just going on the Virar station, a camp ko ja rahe the. We are like, camp ko ja rahe, lekin kya naam kya apna? So this name was given on Virar station while drinking Nimbu Pani. We said, let's call it Hare Krishna Medical Association. That's how it is. Next. This is our first camp. That fellow is still there. This is the Pandharpur camp. Now also, this Sadashiv Patil is still there. Sarpanch. This is the first camp which was organized by Radha Giridhari Prabhu. This is the Pandharpur camp. This is how the doctors were. Dhoti Kurta and Kirtan. Vishwar Prabhu. Yeah, next. We had trained some local people to take care of the medical needs in the days when we were not there. Okay, this is a little funny. Go back. As I told you, we were doing anything which was necessary. So somebody offered us, "Kare, mere paas ek 4 acre ka jagah hai, nadi ke kinare. You can build a hospital, community, sab kar sakte hai." So this is Tungareshwar temple, this mountain near Vasai. It's a famous mountain. So deep in the jungle, about 3 kilometers inside on the river bank, small rivulet actually, there was this Hanuman temple. And the land belonged to this temple. And you can see the Baba there. So we stayed here overnight in the jungle. And in the night we were doing kirtan, evening, that's the time when the photograph is taken. And that flag you can see at the top. That flag we had brought from Hampi. We had gone to Hampi and Maharaj had told us that time that you pray to Hanuman because Hanuman is the original doctor. And you take a flag from him and then he will guide you further. So that's how the flag was always with us. Next. So cataract camps, go through. Yeah, go ahead. Good. And their wives, Vishwaru Prabhu's wife, Dwarkarish Prabhu's wife, they were the only two doctors who were married at that time. This is cooking. This is Padmavati Kiloskar. She is a JJ staff nurse even today. So Batata Vada. Vishwaru Prabhu was a specialist in Batata Vada. He was really famous. His batata was very, very famous at that time. Khichdi. Go ahead. You can see how happy they are. These all devotees are still there. Matlab, sab log hai. This is, at that time, Ramayana serial was going on. So we would show them Ramayana in the night. So they are seeing the Ramayana. Yes.
Who was the tall devotee?
Yes.
The tall devotee in the picture?
Maybe. Go ahead. These are school health checkups. My father was a principal of 5 schools at that time. Villages make us, na? They're a small school. So he was principal for 5 schools altogether. So he would every time get 1 or 2 classes and you know we would check them out. Give them deworming and vitamins. Next. This was the van which was donated to us by Srinathji Prabhu. Because he saw ki hum log bahut bada bada bojha leke jaate hain gaon mein. So he said, I will give you a van. This is Ambedkar Nagar in Elphinstone Road. This is where the camp is going. Even today there are devotees from that place. Next. Go ahead. Yeah, go on. There's some pictures from the camps. So you can see prasadam distribution was always part of this. This is Govind Prabhu at that time. Samanand Prabhu and Govind Prabhu. Next. Go ahead. This camp, where is this? I don't remember where this camp was. Ram Nami Sankirtan, okay. Go ahead, this is Kirtans. Go ahead. So at these times, no, we were quite, again, you know, devotees are sometimes, their vision is too broad. So I remember I had gone to Krul Prabhu and we would never talk about small things. We were like, kya karenge tum log? We'll have camps throughout India now. And we actually had. We went to Dehradun, we went to Rishikesh, we had so many camps throughout India. We went to even Shirdi. People would call us because there was a free team available, no? And this is Barsana Eye Camp, the first camp, 1992. Go ahead. Cataract. Yeah. This is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. Previous one, in pant and shirt. Go ahead. Yeah, you can see, now we just skip that picture. Previous one, yeah. Even at that time, we would always, we never compromise on quality. Because again, you know, Prabhupada's focus was always on quality. He would, you know, he always said that give the best part of your life to God, not the old age. Now give youth. Why? Because in youth you can offer something. That's the best part of life. So anything which you offer to Krishna, just like Shyam Mohan Prabhu was just now saying, you are doing well in studies, you should do the best in studies. Because you want to offer best to Krishna. Don't offer second-hand things or second-class things. So even at that time, even though we did not have much money, our microscopes, drapes, everything was always high class. We always never compromised. That's why our cost was, we would spend roughly 3,500 rupees per cataract patient. And people would question, are hum log Lions Club ko 500 mein karte hain. Tum log 3,500 kaise kharcha karte ho? So we would say, you come and see our camp, what we are doing. We are not here to cheat you. We are just telling you what we are spending. Because we don't want to do something which is, you know, just because he's a CAM patient, he can lose his eye. That was not the idea. So even though we did smaller number of CAMs, cataract patients at that time, we spent a lot. Even today, our expenditure is very high. So that was because of the quality. Next. Go ahead. Initial period, I remember, for several years, we had always 100% results. Yeah, go back. Yeah, you can see this picture. Again, the culture in the whole medical that team, including we consider Krishnaprabhu as part of the team, was, even today it is existing, that in our hospital, our trustees, once in a month at least they sweep the floor of the hospital. So that in a culture remains, you can do every possible service. So here Krishnaprabhu was actually in the transport team. So he would transport patients like a ward boy. It's not that, you know, he is a big man, so he's sitting on a chair and giving blessings, "Achha kar rahe ho, achha kar rahe." He himself would actually carry patients. That was amazing. Go ahead. Yeah, this we say is our gain. Ashirvad. Blessings. This hand shows that, okay, I'm thankful to you. And these blessings, they come and they enrich our heart. Next. Go ahead. That was how, when the person first time starts seeing after being blind practically, first thing he sees is Krishna. That was the plan. We had actually, just wait for a minute. We in Palghar, we had many patients from Muslim community. So Vishwara Prabhu is a little bit genius in kirtans, you know, he does good kirtans. So he had composed a kirtan which was Hare Krishna plus Allahu Akbar. So he would chant Hare Krishna and in between he would shout Allahu Akbar and then again start Hare Krishna. We have one photo, but it's not here. There's one Dadiwala Muslim is chanting Hare Krishna. That picture is still there. Go ahead. So now the number of CAM patients is increasing. Go ahead. So this is also the, go back. This is also the culture which is still prevalent in Barsana Eye Camps particularly, is that we thank the patients for the service opportunity they have given to us. It's not that, you know, we are doing some bada upkar kar rahe unke upar, aise nahi. They have given us an opportunity to serve them. Like you must have heard the lectures during Barsana Eye Camp, that what is our mood? And even I think last to last Sunday or maybe 2-3 Sundays back, Maharaj gave a full lecture on hospitality. Atithi Devo Bhavo. That means any guest, anyone who is coming to give you service, we should be treating him as representative of Krishna. So that is the purpose here at giving gifts, thanking them that you gave us an opportunity to serve. Go ahead. Now the polyclinic we started. Go ahead. This is same doctors. Go ahead. Hanumanji was always with us. Always. Even today he's there. Operation theater. Next. Maharaj, if he had not pushed us, we probably would not be there today. But he was very convinced that this is the right place. This is how it looked. Go ahead. Slowly it came up. Yeah, go ahead. This is Prahladan Maharaj who had come. Go ahead. So in 1998, we inaugurated Bhaktivedanta Hospital and offered it to Srila Prabhupada. Many Prabhupada disciples had come, many sannyasis had come. Even though there was an internal current of, you know, little bit of apprehensiveness, because Prabhupada had very boldly said that Mayavadis open hospitals. He was very clear. Mayavadis get into philanthropy. So people were thinking, are we doing correct thing? But at the same time, Prabhupada also had said that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was dreaming, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was dreaming that when is that day when professionals, high professionals like high court judges, lawyers, doctors, they go with tilak for their work. So this is also another vision. So that vision Maharaj had. But now practically everyone, you know, even those who had ultimately, you know, felt that it may not be the right thing, even they appreciate today. As of now, everyone is very, very appreciative. So this is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So any questions? Yes. That you have to decide. Now the stage is like this. First of all, who are around here or who want to come to Bhaktivedanta Hospital for future, that opportunity is available now, guidance is available, and many more can be absorbed there. That is one. Second is, you might be from a particular place. You know, some people might be from Nanded, somebody might be from Latur, various places, or somebody might be from UP. If you have a group of doctors, you can start something like this. And full guidance is available. Because now, after 10 years, practically all systems are set. And how to do spiritual care, how to do preaching, various things are, everything is available. So that advantage is there. So we don't have any plan, but plans may come up. Krishna has many plans. Yes? Okay, that means basically you are asking how do you give spiritual care? It's a big lecture in itself, but I will make it short. See, for the patient, what we generally do is we have a spiritual care assistants. Previously we had spiritual care nurses. But now, slowly we have taken out that concept, because nurses are also useful for, you know, doing actual nursing. So every nurse is doing some spiritual care by her behavior and everything. But there are some people who are specifically doing only spiritual care. So what do? They go and meet the patient. So every day evening, there is a small Rathayatra in the hospital. So Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, they go. So these people take them. And of course, somebody is Muslim, he doesn't want to do that, that's fine. They just take darshan and go ahead. But most of the Hindus, they will offer flower, pray. And then they are given prasadam, smile, all those things. You know, our behavior is preaching. So by that, and also they tell, ki, if you need any help, please let us know. So sometimes they might say, mera pankha awaaj karta hai. So then it's not my job. They will contact the maintenance department, tell them, iska awaaj karta hai, usko theek kar do. So theek ho jata hai. So then they tell, ye to apna aadmi hai. So in 1 or 2 days, they start asking questions. Ki, who are you actually? Why are you coming? The nurses are coming, everyone is, but you are also coming extra. You are so kind. It's like, you know. So then they start, ye kya hai, tilak, ye kyun karte? Kyun karte ho tum log ye sab? So then they slowly tell them, this is how there is a spiritual health. And spiritual health is more preventive. You will never fall sick. So many things. Give prasadam again. So then some people are more interested. So they are given some basic books. Okay, you read this book. Tomorrow if you have questions, you can answer. We can answer. Like this, slowly a person reveals his mind to the spiritual care assistant. And the spiritual care assistant gives knowledge. So then when they are about to get discharged, and we are all noting down, this is not arbitrary. It is not in the mind. There is a documentation of a spiritual health chart. Just like we have TPR chart, TPR-BP chart. Similar chart we have in which spiritual care is documented. So what do they document? They document the habits and the previous spiritual background, so many things. At the end of the stay in the hospital, when they are going out, the assessment is done. So there are like, previously we had kept them as, you know, categories. But now we have made it into only 4. So one category is that they just don't want to do anything with this. So they are like A- we call them. And then there is A, who is neutral. ठीक है, अच्छा है, सुनने को अच्छा लगता है. Then there is A plus, who is little more interested. He has already read one small book, and he is inquisitive, but is not so much interested. And there is A plus plus. This person is already ready. वो बोलता है कि मुझे और बताओ, अभी वापस कैसे आने का, मिलने को आपको, मेरे डिस्चार्ज तो हो गया, अभी मैं डॉक्टर को मिलने का, आपको कैसे मिलने का. ही इज ए प्लस टू. एंड ए प्लस थ्री इज अ रेयर कैटेगरी हु एक्चुअली गो आउट ऑफ द हॉस्पिटल विद चैंटिंग बीड्स. सो वी हैव दिस नाउ, दिस ए प्लस टू एंड सम ऑफ द ए प्लस थ्री, दीज आर द पीपल हु आर कॉल्ड बैक after a month or so after discharge for a common program which is we call as Premanjali. And in the Premanjali they are told directly what is spirituality. Fusers seedha seedha, jaise you know, topics are various, like sometimes we talk on time management, sometimes we talk on rebirth, fiction or fact, like that, any topic which is of general interest. And in that direct spiritual things are talked, and there we distribute the forms for a 3 or 4, now it is 4 day, 4 day Bhagavad Gita session, that is the journey of self discovery, either in Hindi or English, and these courses take place every 3 months. So this is how journey takes place, this is how we give it. Okay, yes. Keeping your basic things intact. See, basic things have to be intact. You cannot compromise on, say, suppose you are chanting 16 rounds. So, 16 to hona chahiye. Brother. So, basic things should be intact first. That means you can't go below that. Once you have done that, and suppose there is some fascinating program coming up and you are placing studies also, that's where, you know, you need guidance. That's where the confusion will come. Ki are udhar Gaurang Prabhu itna achha lecture de rahe hai aur main yahan ye kya kar raha hu. ऐसे आ सकता है. एंड अगेन देयर यू नो द गाइडेंस फ्रॉम द सीनियर डिवोटीज, योर ओन चैत्य गुरु, बिकॉज कृष्णा गिव्स इंटेलिजेंस. वंस यू आर सिंसियरली सीकिंग फॉर डायरेक्शन, यू विल गेट इट, ऑलवेज यू विल गेट इट, यू विल, कृष्णा विल नेवर फेल यू. सो सिंसियरली इफ यू आर आस्किंग, देन सम सीनियर डिवोटी समवेयर यू विल गेट अ सिग्नल वॉट यू शुड डू. It is not at all difficult. Never difficult, actually. And sometimes I quote this, that sometimes, you know, the mind is still very turbulent. So, direction milne ke bawajud bolta hai, nahi, nahi, aisa karo. Because mind wants to do something. So, that's where Prabhupada gives the formula. Suppose you are totally confused in spite of all these things. So, generally, Prabhupada says, reject the mind's proposal. Because mind is, we don't have a purified mind right now. So mind is likely to propose something which is actually not going to be good for you. So Prabhupada gave that, you know, two-line Bengali proverb. That means, he said, if there is a question, khaun ki na khaun? Khane ka ki nahi khane ka? So generally he said, you should accept na khaun. Because that's against the mind. And jaun ki nahi jaun? That means I have to go to now Radha Gopinath temple, it's bus, it's already late. So mind is likely to convince you, ki nahi jao yaar, bahut thake ho, padhai bhi hai. So reject the mind and say, jao ki na jao, to jao. Basically it is, reject your mind's proposal. Okay? Anyone else? Yes, bro. Can you speak a little louder?
The recent update trend among the Vaishnavas who are going to become future Vaishnava doctors, they are choosing branch like radiology or pathology. They are thinking that by doing this, maintain our Krishna consciousness life very smoothly. At the same time, we can do our occupation of doctor as a very good part. But because we are not involving in a preaching thing, because they can't directly make contact with other patients, because they have joined non-clinical branch. So it is better for a person who will become Krishna conscious also and doctor also to choose non-clinical or clinical branch. What do you think, Guru?
This is a very important question, and we should understand the concept very well. We have to understand the concept that, first of all, it is a personal choice. And what a devotee does for a particular decision, whether it is right or wrong, is totally determined by the intention or motivation of the person. So if the motivation is that I just want to chant Hare Krishna and be happy in my own little world, and I don't care about what happens to the preaching, and I don't care what happens to Prabhupada's order that, you know, their Vaishnava culture has to be established. This is one thought process, which is not a justifiable thought process. But at the same time, somebody might be fully convinced that I want to do radiology or pathology so that I get a lot of time and I am going to preach. So, whether it is radiology, pathology or pediatrics or orthopedics, that doesn't determine the right or wrong. What determines is what is the consciousness behind it. Because all things are required. You know, in between some people, they had asked me also that, you know, अरे गायनेकोलॉजी नहीं लेना चाहिए, अबॉर्शन करना पड़ता है, एंड मेनी एक्सक्यूजेस. सो सपोज वी डोंट हैव एनी गायनेकोलॉजिस्ट इन डिवोटी सर्कल्स, इज इट गुड और बैड? बैड नो, समबडी हैज टू टेक इट अप. सपोज एवरीवन स्टार्ट्स थिंकिंग सबको मुझको तो अच्छा गृहस्थ बनने का है, सो देयर विल बी नो गौरांग प्रभुस, करेक्ट? बिकॉज ऑफ होम वी आर ऑल सिटिंग हियर. So there is always, everyone is required. So orthopedic is also required, neurology is also required, even radiology is required, pathology is required. There is no good or bad. How you are inclined to and what is your justification, what is your motivation, that will determine what you are doing. Okay? Does that answer very clearly? So there is nothing wrong, because suppose somebody likes orthopedics, no one can criticize him कि तुम क्या कितना heavy branch लेकर रखा है, थोड़ा तो वाट लग जाएगा. नहीं, he is going to cope up. राधानाथ महाराज, I remember, one of our surgeons, he was so taxed with work, he could not, after getting initiated, he could not chant 16 rounds. But he was very sincere. He came to Maharaj. Maharaj said, Maharaj, if I have to complete this, I just can't chant 16 rounds, because throughout the day and night I am just on the field. Maharaj said, okay, for time being you chant 8 rounds. See? Because he was sincere. But doesn't mean that that is a consistent throughout his life. As soon as he is in a proper position, come back to 16 rounds. I am quoting this example only to tell you that guidance is available. Whether it is orthopedics or whether it is radiology, what is your heart saying? Even orthopedics is good, general surgery is good, cancer surgery is good, pediatrics is good, everything is good. The knife is neither good nor bad. How we utilize it? That's the answer. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. In practice, when we are doing spiritual care, while practicing our medicine, as a doctor, patient may take, may think that you are not competent enough, that's why you are going for spirituality. And second thought is that if we add spiritual care with our medical profession, then patient may argue giving you the required amount or required money. They may say that you are doing it for God, doing it for Krishna, Krishna consciousness, spreading His mission. So why don't you compromise with your money or with your fees? Then in such circumstances what we can do?
I think I'll just quote him again, once again. Shyam Mohan Prabhu was one of the top students. Why should we compromise? When we are a doctor, why should we, even if you are Hare Krishna, in fact, as a Hare Krishna doctor, you should be the best doctor in the community. So there is no question of anybody, challenging your competence just because you are wearing tilak and kantimala, or you are saying Hare Krishna to the patient. They should respect your Hare Krishna by your competence. You should be so competent that a person should think that, Are, itna competent aadmi Hare Krishna karta hai, matlab Hare Krishna mein kuch dam hai. Aise sochna chahiye. Regarding money, from a purely shastric point of view, doctors should not ask for money. Again, as I said, we were little fanatics in the beginning. So we also had this plan. Devamrut Prabhu was also with us in that. Well, now it is Bhakti Rasamrut Maharaj. So one of our meetings we decided, why don't we just treat people so nicely and keep a donation box, side mein box rakh dene ka, jisko jitna chahe dalega. But then, again, some people are a little crooked minded like me. So I said, no, ye baad mein karenge, satyog chala gaya abhi. Otherwise, we were seriously considering this. Treat them so well, and it is possibility. Let me tell you that this is quite a possibility, that people will pay you much more than what you expected if you treat them. And today, if you come to, say, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, Mira Road, the top doctors in the community, all of them are all our devotee doctors. All of them. Practically, some people come 5 o'clock in the morning, udhar line mein khade rehte hai, kyunki phone pe appointment nahi milta hai. That is the state today. People come for XYZ has cancer. I am not a cancer surgeon or Dorkash. They'll come, take opinion, and then go back. They want proper guidance. So that is depending on how you treat them professionally. So it remains a theoretical consideration. Practically, it doesn't. People pay. People pay well. In fact, people are so happy that they want to give you more. Because you are a good professional. Yes, anyone else? Yes, bro. What is the motivation? Yeah.
Yeah. And recently the topic was ki the person should respect Krishna on the basis of our competency in our field of work, like you said. So we have some intelligence, and we are working in Krishna consciousness, and we are trying to be competitive enough. And now my question is, in all these things, the mercy that has to be there. Like sometimes we pray, even though I don't have intelligence, I don't have that competency, but I want to get in. So is that prayer worthy enough to be answered by Krishna? That is my question.
Yeah, anything you ask for Krishna's service is a good prayer. One practical example for you. One of our Ayurvedic doctors, he never learnt Nadi Pariksha. You just put your hand here and then the patient doesn't have to say anything. The doctor starts saying, Tumko aisa hota hai, aisa hota hai, aisa hota hai. It's like patient is mesmerized because he thinks, how do you know? I have not told you anything. It's only based on the Nadi. So there is one doctor, this Pankaj Naram, is a famous doctor. And he does that, and he has learnt it for maybe 15 years in Himalayas, some guru and all. And then our devotee doctors, I told him, why don't you learn medicine? You are a good doctor. You should also know Nadi Vyadhi. Go to Pankajnanam. Pankajnanam ke paas nahi jaunga main. I will learn it. And after about 3-4 months, I had sent him one patient and I went with the patient. Usne aisa haath rakha and started saying. And the patient was completely mesmerized. How do you know, doctor? And he told everything exactly. So patient jaane ke baad, I was also mesmerized actually. Patient jaane ke baad, kaise kiya tune ye to 15 saal lag gaya usko Pankaj. So we have a small Jagannath temple in the hospital. बोला मैं कुछ नहीं, सुबह आके जप करता तो भगवान को बोलता मेरे को ये तक शक्ति दे दो, उसने दे दिया. इट्स अ फैक्ट. सो कृष्णा विल एक्चुअली, बिकॉज आवर कॉन्शियसनेस शुड बी लाइक दैट. इन स्ट्रिक्ट सेंस, व्हेन पेशेंट कम्स टू यू, इफ यू आर ट्रीटिंग विद दिस मूड ऑफ प्रीचिंग दैट लेट माय एक्शंस, लेट माय ट्रीटमेंट चेंज द हार्ट ऑफ दिस पर्सन, लेट हिम हैव फेथ इन यू कृष्णा, see the results. It will be totally different result. We have seen, miss, practically whole of Mira Road congregation today, they are somewhere or other, they were patients. And today they are proper initiated devotees. Some of them are counselors. So that is because of the devotional approach. So I would say you don't have to worry whether you will get it. Krishna will do the needful. If you just have that consciousness continuously. But every action which I am treating this patient, the respect I am showing for him, everything, the professional approach I am giving, it is going to change the heart of this person. Krishna, I want you to change his heart. If that mood is there, then our actions will be good. Our whole thing, you know, your thought process will be good. And automatically you are going to give best results. Okay? Anyone else? Yes, sir. If you are following your counselor who has told you to chant 4 rounds, whether you know it or you don't know it, you are getting full spiritual benefit. We don't know. See, just following the order of the higher authorities properly, that itself gives you immense spiritual benefit. We don't realize it. It may look like any other ordinary thing, but just following sincerely, okay, 4 rounds, I am not happy. Getting happiness or, you know, bliss from that 4 round. But we don't chant for bliss. That is the first basic thing. We don't chant for bliss. We chant for Krishna's bliss. So whether Krishna is happy or not, if once you follow, Krishna is happy automatically. So you don't worry how you are feeling. Our feelings are not important. That is one. Second is, little theoretical part, but I must address this, that it is a wrong notion that just because you are going to work, read 16 hours or maybe 10 hours and somebody is going to read maybe 18 hours, so he is going to get better than you. It's not true. Personally, I have never believed in too much hard work. You should do enough. Yes, I agree with you. So Krishna will give you that. So you should know your level. And you know, somebody, I have seen people who study just last night and then today morning they get the best marks. So if you are at that, we should do that. But if you are, no, I must study 7 days, then only I'll get best marks, then you should study 7 days. Whatever is your nature and the way you study, it is different for different people. But it has nothing to do with number of hours and marks. Number of hours may be very small, and still you can get the best marks. Correct, Shama?
But in general, you have to work hard.
Hard work is a must. See, yeah. Prabhupada always worked very hard.
I assume that you will just sit there and Krishna will come and write your paper, naturally.
Laziness is not permitted.
Yeah, I've seen, but chanting never really eats into time. It's a big notion, you know. We can discuss this in great detail. I think I touched on it. There I spoke, you're not there. I did touch the same aspect. It's a big notion that chanting comes into time. It doesn't come into time. I will help. See, very easy. They might be help. For example, see, if someone is studying also, you know, you don't continuously study. See, I study most of the day. Other than sleeping and eating, I study the rest of the day. Probably I should study like at least 12 hours every day. Okay? But still, when you're studying 4 hours, you're not studying 8, 12 hours continuously. This is a small break. You always go down, meet some friends, you always go to the balcony, go to the bathroom and sit and talk over there a little bit.
Relax.
Yeah. You just you can squeeze your time. You see, manage your time that, you know. You can squeeze your time. Don't do 4 rounds in one go. Don't do 16 rounds in one go. What I used to do, I'll tell you a very important small fact. When we had exams, the Bombay University exam pattern was very bad. So extremely bad. We had continuous exams. Monday, anatomy 1. Tuesday, anatomy 2. Wednesday, anatomy 3. Physio 1. It's continuous. No holiday in between. No holiday. They changed this in like 98-9. They changed this. They started giving no holiday. So what we used to do, when we used to go to Anat 1 paper, we used to carry the books of Anat 2 with us so that in the bus we should start reading. Believe me, I should do that. When I used to give my physio paper on and come out, just relax for some time and I used to start my physio 2 studies in the bus itself. So imagine, you have so much time. Still I should do my 16 rounds. I'll tell you how. You read all the while in the bus, okay? And then when you come, you'll go to the room, you'll freshen a little bit, chant 3 rounds, okay? Chant 4 rounds. Then, you know, then you sit and read. Study for 4 hours. Then you need a break, right? People go to TV room, people wash your face. Everyone needs a break. So in that break, put 4 rounds. In fact, I used to see that this is to help. You know, instead of chanting, you know, that repetitiveness in the mind, what happens is typical how the mind works is, after 4 hours of hard work, you are fatigued out, you know. You are fatigued, that's why you need to rest. But if you chant and do rest, you know, then your mind is resting but still it's focused. So the next 4 hours that you are reading, you can do 6 hours of study in that 4 hours.
Yeah.
See, humko lagta hai, time is very compressible, dimag ke level pe. Hum compress nahi karte, but dimag level both compressible at time. So we used to study this much and still I was not sure. I told Ground Prabhu, I'm not sure whether I'll be able to chant 16 rounds during my exam because, you know, I used to sleep literally 1 hour, 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, that's it, because you can't sleep. Whole syllabus is there, the entire that Gaitan was to be there, physio too. And next day, you all have at least a holiday, we don't have a holiday. The next day, physio too, we finished with biochem. No holiday in between. Monday should start and Friday should get over, finish, all exams are over. Imagine entire biochemistry to read. Everywhere. We used to read, I used to read even in the toilet.
Yeah.
We used to read all the good students, you know, we had techniques. We used to make small sheets of paper like this. Small hand notes. Even in the toilet we used to read. But toilet, I had colleagues who used to read in the bathroom. I never used to read. What they used to do? Before taking a bath, they should put a stick on in the wall. Okay? Wall. Causes of arrhythmia. Dal diya. Naate naate dekh liya. Arrhythmia. Okay. Aisa ho gaya. See, that much hard work is involved. Nothing comes, you know. So, but still, I should stand 16 rounds during my exam. It is possible.
you do the effort, automatically you compress the pata.
So that answers your question completely, I think. Okay, anyone else has any question? Next? Next camp is in Pandharpur. What is it? Date? Some of them they know, I don't know so much. Okay? So thank you very much for your patient listening and good interaction. Hare Krishna.
Is this Madhavan Prabhu ki?
Yeah.